Someday I hope to have my own theme song.
He likes that theme song?
Oh, he loves that theme song.
Hey, that's a sweet theme song there, Chill. I know you were doing your little Rudy Pooty frat dance to it.
No. No.
He wanted to. He mostly just had a look of confusion.
What's up? What's up, Timmy Mac? What's happening, man? What's going on with all this drama, man? Are you starting this drama again?
Hey, I ain't starting drama. There's drama there. I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. You ought to know a little something about that, Chill. You've been coming to the Cowboys since Eddie LeBaron was the starting quarterback.
It's just unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Tell us this. Is Carlisle trying to put the genie back in the bottle? Cause
not just Carlisle. I mean, look, the entire organization. And it's a complicated situation here. Look, would the Mavericks there's not a consensus opinion necessarily within the Mavericks on whether they want to, you know, keep Dennis Smith Jr. long term, develop him, and you know, think that he can become a nice sidekick to Luka Doncic. But let's be clear, it's Luka's team for now, and they hope for the next 15, 20 years. There's some who say, look, we need to move him if we can get value. But look, it's a moot point right now because they can't get value. They've been shopping them for months. If there was a value trade to be made, they'd have made it. Now, can things change before the February 7th trade deadline? Could something pop up? Yes, but that's it. At this point, it's very unlikely. You heard Rick Carlisle, you know, I thought came out and was very honest about the situation yesterday when he was on with the Dak boys. And you know, when he said the best thing is let's, you know, there's a lot of games to be played this season. Let's play the season out and go from there. I think that really is the most likely scenario and in the best interest of both sides. Dennis Smith Jr. and, you know, his as advisors, as Rick called him, and, it's not just an agent, but his dad's heavily involved in this. I think they want a situation where he is a primary playmaker, you know, a guy who's got the ball in his hands a lot. Simple fact of the matter, though, is at this point, there's not very many teams in the league where he would be that guy. And if he's going to get moved this summer, then, you know, he needs to improve his stock. He needs to come back and kind of restore some of his value. And unfortunately, I think this has been handled just so clumsily that, you know, the kid's reputation is taking a hit. And I think that's why Rick was so firm kind of in the defense of his character and shifting the blame toward the voices in his ear. You know, basically what Rick was saying, oh, this is a team guy, he loves being around his teammates, you know, and it's about business and what his advisors are telling him to do. You know, I do think that the Mavericks are certainly concerned that, you know, and selfishly as well as, you know, in the kid's best interest, that his reputation is taking a major hit here.
Well, to me, and I think the Mavericks handled it bad too in how they handled the situation, because I guess where it's come to a head this week is that all season we've been hearing about rumors. We've been hearing about rumors, and the Mavericks have shot it down all season. To me, this week, they've openly acknowledged that that it's legitimate, that they're looking to move him. And that's where, you know, for whether it's true or not, you publicly basically state that, you know, this is a possibility. And that's where things went awry with the family.
I think things went awry in large part, but that kind of took it to a head. But I think it's really his role. And there has been some friction with Rick. There's no question about that. I know Rick downplayed it, and I don't know that it's too, you know, extreme in terms of is it just tough coaching. But I do know that having talked to some folks who, you know Dennis very well, that he feels like Rick is tougher on him, and really it more gives him a shorter leash. It's not so much that he's tough on him; it's that, you know, he feels like when he makes a mistake, he gets pulled from the game. That's not the case with Luka. But look, Luka's also legitimately an All-Star candidate, and Dennis Smith Jr. was a second-team All-Rookie. we're talking about two completely. I mean, one guy looks like he's going to be an MVP candidate over not this year, but certainly that's his career path. And Dennis Smith Jr., man, you know, we don't know what he is yet. We don't know what he is yet. But certainly he is not a guy who midway through his second season has the juice to pull this kind of power play. So it's in the best interest of everybody, awkward as it may be, to shake hands, move on for the rest of the season, and, you know, revisit things this summer when, you know, the Mavericks, I'm sure, will try to move him again. And, you know, that's something that he's interested in. And look, we'll see who Dennis's representatives are at that point as well, because right now he's got an agent who only has one other NBA client. And, you know, that's not a guy who has the juice to have any kind of influence on trade discussions.
Talking to ESPN's Tim McMahon here on 103.3 FM, discussing, and also you're probably hearing construction underneath us. I promise that's not us. It is loud. If it's loud on the radio, it is extra loud in here, but we're going to fight through it. Do you think that Coach Carlisle's tendencies and just the way that he handles his business, certainly it's successful, is that long-term going to translate with this next generation of players that doesn't always necessarily respond to do this because I'm telling you that this is the best thing for you and just deal with it?
Yeah, and you know, and we'll see. I mean, I think that certainly Rick has shown in the past that with a player who is, you know, who earns it, that he is willing to be flexible. I mean, he butted heads with Jason Kidd early on and then basically turned the keys of the offense over to him. Now, that's a, you know, a Hall of Famer, one of the great basketball minds of all time. I do look, Rick is obviously an extremely intelligent man. He understands that if it gets to a Luka versus Rick thing, that's one battle that he will not win. But he also looks at Luka and says, man, this kid at 19 years old is already one of the better decision makers in the NBA with the ball in his hands. And so what I'm fascinated to see is kind of how that relationship develops. And, you know, if at some point, you know, how much freedom does Luka get in terms of running the show and Rick not necessarily calling plays on a possession by possession basis. But, you know, he's not the mistake they made last year, honestly, with Dennis is they gave him the keys too early. They kind of, you know, made last season all about Dennis Smith Jr. And it was because they were desperate to have something to market. But I think that they kind of created a sense of entitlement, not even necessarily just with him, but like I said, with the voices in his ear. And you know, it's hard to have him take a step back after, you know, basically saying he's going to be the guy.
And to me, that's the issue with Dennis and how they handle him. I go back to, again, most people on the outside from the beginning said there's no way these two can coexist. There's no way these two can coexist. Dennis cannot play off the ball. If you're going to get the most out of Dennis, it's going to be developing as an on-the-ball point guard. The Mavericks are like, no, we're going to try to make this work. The maximum trade value was at the start of the season when people were still feeling good about Dennis and where he was in that future.
Listen, it's not like the Mavericks just picked up the phone last week. They've been asking around about him. I mean, it was very early in the season when word got around that, hey, you know, Dennis Smith Jr. is available. And so maybe his trade value was better then, but it wasn't good. Man, if you're Donnie Nelson, if you're Mark Cuban, you invested a number 9 overall pick in this guy a year and a half ago. You can't just give that asset away. You have to get value. And so what are they going to come out and admit? Oh yeah, boy, this is an awkward basketball fit. No, they're hoping that Dennis is able to kind of adjust and adapt his game. I mean, there are ways that, you know, honestly, when Rick Carlisle came out and talked about how well Jalen Brunson fit with that starting lineup, you know, when Brunson was filling in as a starter for a little bit there, basically what he was saying is, Dennis, look how Brunson's playing. This is how we need you to play with that group. Don't stop the ball, you know, keep it moving, decisive, quick decision making. And really the one thing that I think that there's some frustration about in terms of Dennis's game with the Mavericks is they want him to play fast. They want him to push the pace. That is one, you know, skill or talent that he absolutely has that they feel like he's not taking advantage of. But look, the numbers with him and Luka are, I mean, legitimately awful. Like, league worst offense bad. It hadn't worked. Now, with J.J. Barea, unfortunately, out for the season, that does create opportunity, you know, and Rick will have to kind of, you know, tweak the rotation to create this situation. But Dennis ought to be able to run that second unit for 12, 15 minutes a game. You know, that's an opportunity for him to develop in that role. That's an opportunity for the Mavericks to showcase him in that role. But it's impossible if Dennis is going to be, you know, kicking his feet up and calling in sick. He's got to get back. He needs to be back in the mix on Tuesday when the Mavericks are back in town.
Talking to Tim McMahon here on 103.3 FM. A little bit off of the DSJ discussion, Boogie Cousins making his debut, and I know that you were tweeting about that. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that the Mavericks are going to be keeping a very close eye on. How do you think a guy like that would be, you know, how would he react to coming to a situation like this where he sees the coach butting heads with a young talent? He's seen what happened with him and Rondo and several other examples. Do you think that Rick, in a way, with all of this coming out, is creating kind of another barrier for a city and a team that already has a hard time drawing premium free agents?
You know what? I don't know if that's necessarily something that's a concern. I really don't. Boogie was very interested in coming to Dallas last summer. It just, with him coming off the Achilles, you know, as Cuban told me at Summer League, it just wasn't something that made sense for the Mavericks at that time. But, you know, Rick Carlisle is one of the most respected coaches in the NBA. And you know, does he butt heads with some players, especially some point guards? Yeah, but Rick Carlisle is not the reason that the Mavericks haven't had success getting marquee free agents. Frankly, I think the reason is because of the lack of young talent that they've had, you know, the lack of kind of up-and-coming talent. By the time they got in the free agency market, Dirk was in his mid-30s. And as great as Dirk was, you know, if you're a free agent, you're kind of thinking, well, how much does Dirk have left? You know, what's kind of the future there? Now, Luka, I don't know if it's this summer, but I do think Luka will be a guy who certainly a lot of free agents will be interested in teaming up with. Now, obviously, you know, maybe not guys who want to be primary playmakers, but boy, you know, there's a lot of shooters. There's a lot of big men who are watching Luka Doncic thinking, man, he can get me easy buckets. Having said all that, I don't necessarily know that Boogie's a great basketball fit here. To me, I would much rather have a rim-running center to go with Luka Doncic. I want a lob threat with him. I want to surround him with shooters and a lob threat. You know, I want to make him James Harden.
Well, that would be good.
You know, and you bring up James Harden before we let you go, and sometimes there's not a bad guy here, and it's okay if Dennis goes somewhere else and blossoms. And you know, I was telling the young DJ here, there's no way James Harden would be James Harden if he stayed in Oklahoma City.
Right.
It was best for him to go to Houston.
Yeah, it was, and you know that ended up being about money. The OKC didn't want to max him out,
but he would not have blossomed like he's doing.
Exactly. And look, again, Dennis has talent. I don't know, you know, I don't know what he is. I don't know if, you know, he might be a Dennis Schroeder type of guy, you know, a Reggie Jackson type of guy who is a really nice sixth man, but, you know, not a great starting point guard. And that's fine. Those guys are going to make a lot of money in their career. He might be, you know, he might be significantly better than that. We'll see. He might be a Baron Davis type of guy. But, no, you don't need necessarily to have right and wrong and, you know, a villain. Unfortunately, though, this has been really poorly handled. And again, you can blame both sides, but at this point, everybody needs to just shake hands, move forward for the rest of the season, and figure things out this summer, because nobody benefits from Dennis sitting at home, especially him. He there's nothing good that can come out of him missing any more games.
Maybe Mark Cuban had the right idea. Yeah, maybe he should go to Europe somewhere and work on his game.
He'll go to some
and not a mixtape. Let's go to Europe and work on your game.
All right. No time to even dip our toes into that. All right, Tim. I appreciate you joining us here. I'm glad that the trade that Carlisle proposed that involved you did not go through. I like having you here. So appreciate the time.
Trading for a box of marbles.
Hey, I got a no trade clause, so Rick Carlisle can't get rid of me. I guarantee you that.
If he could, he would try. Well, I appreciate it, man.
He's been trying.
We'll talk to you later. See you.
See you, boys.